Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody. Just taking this shit in my hands, and I'm going with it.
It's been 40 minutes, and Clint hasn't fucking started the podcast. This is not a therapy session, Clint. I'm not billing you hourly.
And then I realized, I don't need a man to start my podcast.
Damn.
So welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody.
Clint, you have to start it first. Clint, you have to start it.
What's happening now? Oh, my God. I'm losing all my power.
I'm Clint.
I'm the Virgin Todd.
Oh, I'm Jennifer.
We have had we have had way too much caffeine. This is the day we have talked for 45 minutes, and it is completely unusable.
And it's not about the Last Jedi this time.
No, it's about some heavy relations shit.
Woo, yeah.
And it wasn't Todd this time. We actually
honestly,
everybody else.
My life is really great right now.
Hey, that's fantastic.
I mean, you have no one. That's why it's great.
That's extremely true and hurtful. True and hurtful. I have someone, but no one I can have sex with. And
who else is alone and doesn't have anybody to have sex with? Jane Doe.
Thank you, God, for bringing it back on topic.
Yeah.
So we've got to talk before we get into the autopsy of Jane Doe, which we're going to talk about this time. We are going to do another mug giveaway.
Yeah, we got some mugs.
We've got a mug to give away to all the people who have left reviews. Yeah, we're going to give one mug away. Jen's got the...
What kind of mug is this, Todd?
Oh, my God. It's the Horror Virgin mug that you guys have seen on social.
You've seen it on social media if you are following us. And if you're not,
then
what's
what are you
wrong?
Even doing?
What the fuck is wrong?
So we have everyone who's left a review, a text review. Just a rating, but also a text review because it captures their name.
I'll take three words. I mean, it doesn't have to be a paragraph.
Jen's the
best. I love you.
Yes, Jen is awesome.
They probably should
just... Any variation.
All right, can you... So we're going to pull a name out, and by we, I mean Jen. So if Jen does not pull your name out. Pull the name out the mug.
I pull my name out the mug.
How many names are there? It looks like we got a lot of names in there.
We do have a lot of names.
We got up to 50
reviews. It's raining
names.
Boom.
Hallelujah, it's raining names.
God, this is going to be
I've had a lot of Red Bull. Can we wrap this up? I got to drive to Asheville tonight. Guys, can we wrap this up? I got to drive to Asheville.
All right, I'm pulling a name out of a mug.
Yeah. All right, what is that name, Jen?
That name is Randall H.
Woo-hoo!
Randall, you are the winner of a Horror Virgin mug.
So, boom. Randall, we will get your reach out to us on social. We'll get your information and we'll mail it to you. We actually
one. Shout out to Daniel.
Yeah, shout out to Daniel who won one last time we did this, and we sent him one.
Are we throwing in a free bottle of lube?
They're not going to fuck
in
the mug.
In case they put their in dick in the mug. Want.
Put your dick in the mug, girl.
Although,
wait, girl.
These mugs have a kind of a wide girth, so if you have to get lube for that,
not the handle.
Bigger problems than
the
not
handle.
Fitting your
not the
dick
handle
in
at all.
What are we talking about right
just,
now?
Just like stick it on.
The handle's a perfect size. So autopsy of Jane Doe.
It was real. Oh, guys, if you want to win a mug, leave us a rating and review. You'll automatically be entered and then.
Hey, and if you have already left us a review, we are keeping your name in that mug. So you might still win. Keep listening.
Absolutely.
Cool.
All right, cool. Let's get into whatever the fuck. This movie was so bad. I hated this movie.
I think you hated it because it was scary.
I think you hated it because it was scary,
too. I'll say this. It was very scary, and I will be very honest. In fact, you took a picture of me and put it up on social.
Too.
But, like, it was very
scary.
One was
just for me.
I hated it, but it was also a bad movie. There
no,
have been
disagree.
Movies that we've watched. That's fine. You can disagree and be wrong. I will agree with myself and be right. But this movie was a bag of shit left on someone's door lit on fire.
You know what? Normally it's black and white for me when we watch these movies. This one is very gray. I'm just go back and forth with it. Like parts of it were genuinely creepy. I love the atmosphere. I love the two actors.
Yeah.
But it three. Oh, I forgot the girlfriend.
You mean Bobo Rip Torn and Jason Bateman?
Short Jason Bateman.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
This was before he turned into Teen Wolf.
It's
and boxed.
Teen Wolf 2, yeah.
To be fair, it's fat Emile Hirsch.
Yeah.
And fat Brian Cox.
Well, Brian Cox has always been fat. Yeah,
I mean, I think they're just normal sized people living their lives, eating what they want. Maybe
they
exercise a little bit.
Someone's real sensitive about weight today. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to leave that one alone.
I haven't seen Emile Hirsch in a long time. Do you know what the last thing was?
The last thing I saw him in was Into the Wild, but
that was like 10 years ago.
I'm sure he's been in other stuff. I don't know. If only there
Girl
was
next
some
door.
Website.
Into the Wild's a horrible fucking
buddy.
Movie. Anyone, It's so bad. Into the Wild's about a rich kid who's like, I'm going to go into the woods. And then he doesn't know how to go into the woods. So he eats some shit he's not supposed to eat and then dies.
I agree.
Why do people like that fucking book and movie?
Right.
It's about a fucking idiot who went into the fucking woods, ate some fucking shit. I fucking hate my fucking
it's
so bad.
You take it down to level 5.
I had a big Red Bull.
Level 13 right
now.
I had a big Red Bull.
This is the most aggro
We need
podcast.
This energy
that
for this movie. But I agree.
I
hate that movie.
I hate this movie.
You take it down.
But I agree. I hate every Sean Penn directed movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like he directed that movie.
Some Sean Penn shit.
I don't think there's anything that I like Sean Penn in.
Milk.
Oh yeah, I did like Milk.
So good.
Yeah. I'm here to recruit you.
Yeah.
I've used that joke so many times with you, and you never get it.
You know why?
Why?
Because you don't sound like a gay man when you say it.
Yeah, over text.
This movie.
I disagree. And okay, before we go any further into this, I just want to say we are going to spoil this movie.
Yes.
And I love this movie. Surely, and I love the twist now. And I love something that happens towards the end.
What twist?
Do not listen if you haven't. I mean, we're awesome, so listen anyways. But I mean, don't rob yourself of
honestly
that.
I'll just say this. Don't watch the movie. Listen to the podcast, because the movie's not fucking worth
no,
watching.
No, the movie is fucking amazing.
It's a bag
and I'm
of dog
to explain
shit.
Why
I think it's worth watching. I would like to watch it again.
Yeah, it's good.
I feel like there were things that you're going to have to explain to me. But
yeah.
I had never seen this movie, for the record. This is just a movie that I was one of the few that I hadn't seen, and Jen just kept, you know.
Yeah,
like,
because
like,
it's
we have
so
to watch
good.
This movie. I'm like,
so,
okay. Cool.
I listened to Faculty of Horror, which is one of my favorite
They're
podcasts
great.
Ever.
Yep.
They are fantastic. And like, about a year ago, they had an episode and they were like, yeah, and it's this new trend in secret witch movies. And they were like, and if you know what we're talking about, you know.
I'm sorry, it's, secret witch movies?
Yeah, like all of a sudden it's
about
a
witch. It's not advertised as a witch movie, but it
but
yeah,
then becomes
it ends up
a witch
becoming
movie.
A witch
so
movie.
They were talking about this movie.
Like Hereditary is one of those movies. Spoiler.
Yeah, I agree.
This is so bad.
Okay, but so I listened to that podcast and I was like, but what is the secret witch movie? And they wouldn't tell us. And so, like,
because it's a secret, Jen.
Exactly. And I'm glad they didn't, because I watched this movie and that word came on the screen. And I was like, yes, I figured it out. I know what the secret witch movie is. And then I loved the movie
even
more.
Or you accidentally stumbled on it.
Can we just
I got
get,
some feelings about this shit.
I know you do. Can we just get into the movie so we can talk about
I'm
how bad
I'm telling you
it is?
About my fun story about this movie. Yeah, it was awesome.
Is it over?
The podcast is.
Oh.
Damn.
Did you write greatest movie ever on the board?
I did, because well, I love this movie.
At least you didn't write fuck you Todd on the board this week.
That's true.
All right.
I knew I forgot to do something.
All right, so let's talk about the movie. What was that?
She's fixing her hair.
It's a mystery.
Secret is it
mystery.
A secret witch
it's
mystery?
It's a secret mystery, and fuck you Todd!
Damn.
Sorry.
Damn.
She stood up, guys.
This
she stood up.
Has escalated quickly. Where does it start, Jen?
It starts, okay, yeah. Okay, so I knew you motherfuckers weren't going to remember the order of this movie.
I do not.
So I started writing
it opens,
down
I remember
the
it opens at a crime scene.
Yeah.
And a lot of things are going on.
They started
on.
At a crime scene, right. And this guy that I always think, Cop Kruger, he looks like Freddy Krueger.
He
me.
Does not at all, but
I think he
can
does.
Continue.
You think Listeners? He looks like Freddy Krueger?
I think he looks like Robert Englund.
No, he doesn't.
You mean the teacher from Urban Legend?
Oh, yeah. So we started a crime scene.
Right.
Yeah, we
and
did.
There's like dead bodies everywhere.
As I like
gruesome.
Horror movies to open. Yeah.
And this is when Todd realized what the day was going to be like.
I would argue horrible. It would. I would argue it would always be better if I see what happens instead of just the aftermath of what happens.
Disagree on this one, though.
Because it's a mystery movie. Is that why?
Yeah.
I would also think that it's better if the explanation for why things happen aren't like, well, we'll get to it. Let's just get into it. Let's just get into it. So, yeah we're
Can
at the
we
house.
Just go through this fucking movie, Todd.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we're at the crime scene. They talk about how it looks like they were trying to break out of the house instead of break in.
Yeah. Right.
And then they find in the basement, like buried in like the dirt basement or root cellar.
The dirt basement?
They have
guys, this is the regular basement. But if you go down one more level, that's the dirt basement.
The dirt basement, yeah. Next level, cardiology dungeon.
That's Dr. Giggles.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right.
So sticking out of this, they've dug up this body of a woman.
Immaculate body. And I don't mean sexy because she's dead. I mean just like it's very clean, which plays a part.
Yes.
Also, would have been super hot if she was alive.
Well, she was alive. The actress was alive. Maybe she was alive the whole time.
I'm just waiting
for
She's
these. Been alive for 10
for
years.
10 years. Oh, she can get it for 10 years.
Oh, she could have. She was alive. I'm not into dead chicks. I want to make it clear that people know I'm not into dead chicks.
Currently. Okay, so then we cut to the coroner dungeon.
Yes. Which is in the basement of their house.
Right. It's a
not that we ever really go up there. But
we have a father and son.
Yes, a family-owned coroner's.
Can I?
company.
So that's Brian Cox and Emile Hirsch, right?
Yes.
But it would have been better, Jason Bateman, Rip Torn. I'm just saying it.
I don't know who this Rip Torn is. I always think it's like Rip Van Winkle or something.
Yeah, I've never heard that phrase Rip Torn is the character Rip Van Winkle who doesn't exist.
Yeah, I don't know that Rip Torn exists.
You never watched Larry Sanders, did you?
Rip Torn's been dead. Oh, my.
He's been dead for a little while.
Have we ever seen Larry Sanders and Rip Torn and Rip Van Winkle in the same room?
Well, not Rip Van Winkle, but Larry Sanders and, yes, we have seen Rip Torn. Yeah. Okay. Rip Torn's still alive.
I was just looking that up because I doubted myself.
Is he dead or alive?
No.
While you're looking it up, let me tell my favorite Rip Torn story.
He might be alive, but I think he's been asleep for 100 years.
Let me tell my favorite Rip Torn story. Oh. And well, let's just say this. Cops go to a bank that is currently being robbed, or the alarms are going off at least. They go into the front door of the bank. Rip Torn is laying in the middle of the floor. He had broken into the bank drunk because he thought it was his house, and they did not arrest him.
Aww.
They just took him back to his house.
He just patted him on the head and like took
his shoes off and tucked
him in. No, because
he didn't steal anything. He literally thought it was his house.
No.
So he broke a window, climbed through the window, passed out on the floor.
I mean, look.
Is he alive or not?
He's alive.
Goddamn right
well
he is.
Into his 80s.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He's still alive. Guys, I get confused. His first name is Rip, R.I.P. So
rest in pieces, Rip.
Yeah. But on the Larry Sanders Show,
oh my.
His character was sober. And once a season, he would go on this drinking bender, and he would always end up on the Seinfeld set next door.
Yeah.
So Jerry would come over and be like, he's on our couch again. And they would like go to the living room of Seinfeld, and he's just like fucking screaming, just rage screaming.
He's a wandering drunk.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
As was I. Long time ago.
Okay, can we get into this movie? What are we talking about right now?
So we go to the family coroner's office where Emile Hirsch, Emile Hirsch and Brian Cox are like just power autopsying through some bodies. You know, they're getting their work done.
Typical then, Friday night.
Yeah, they got like what, Springsteen or something playing, some fun music.
They got some music playing on the radio.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah. What is it?
I don't remember.
ZZ Top?
What does ZZ Top sound like, Clint?
I've heard about the rock from some time ago.
I'm out.
That's what ZZ Top sounds like.
Late at night, a fucking ass man, where I've been.
Just count your stars, I'm home again. Wow! Yeah, damn
okay,
right.
I just shit my pants. Thank
damn
you for
right.
that.
Oh, yeah. Mission accomplished.
I like how you sounded sexually excited about the prospect of him shooting his pants. I'm going to shit my
prospect.
Pants. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they are autopsying. Then they're done for the day, and Emile Hirsch's girlfriend is wandering around the coroner's place.
Right, and Brian Cox leaves the room, the autopsy room to go probably clean up, honestly, because he's done for the day.
Right.
Makes
complete
sense, right? Mm-hmm. And then the girlfriend's like, oh, can I see a dead body?
Yeah.
Is that how she sounded? That's what she
sounded? No, that's not what
she sounded like, right?
No.
She sounded like a rational person sexually interested in seeing
Yeah,
she definitely got wet.
Like, to the point where I thought there was going to be a plot twist with who she was, and then it turns out there was no plot twist.
Me
she
too. And they missed an opportunity.
Like, she secretly, like, hosted My Favorite Murder podcast or something.
Yeah.
That's why she's curious.
Honestly, if that was Karen Kilgareth, she could have got it.
Yeah. So there's like a little bit of it. They like tease her a little bit with like, oh, we'll let you see this person without a face.
Oh, you want to see? Pick one of these doors. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then he shows her one. She's like, I didn't want that one.
I didn't want that one. I wanted Mr. McFace gone.
But how did he know?
Mr. McGone Face. That's also where
Man Without a Face, Mel Gibson.
Mr. McGone Face also has a bell tied to his leg.
Yeah, he does. Because his face is gone.
And so does the dad.
I thought they all did.
I don't know if they all do. I think he's the only one.
Just him.
He's got like one bell.
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe the other bell. Like,
I thought the bell thing was a good idea and very effective later in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
sure.
Okay, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So anyways, but as we were watching this, I was thinking like, because they're all kind of like, yeah, you sure you want to see this? And she's like, I'm kind of nervous. And I was like, well, that's like our podcast.
Like, yeah, except I'm the girl, so let's not. Yeah.
So then dad kind of plays a trick on her and scares her a little bit.
Yeah.
But what we see is these bodies. And we see one lady with her eyes and her mouth sewn shut.
Yep.
And we see another one whose face has been shot out.
Literally shot out.
Yeah. And while they're talking about these bodies, they're talking about like what the actual cause of death is and how sometimes it's not exactly what you think it is.
Right, because the guy who had his face shot out actually died from something else, right?
Yes. Yeah, poison, I think.
So they don't. She doesn't see the faceless man then.
Right,
and
but
then,
we know these two bodies exist.
Yes,
now.
That's their way of introducing these two body characters that they do come back, and we see
they
walking
do.
Around.
Sometimes they do come back.
No, they don't. Stop.
They're right
that
behind
never
each
happened.
Other.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I need a bell. I'm going to call you in the middle of the night and just
you
like
were
ring a bell.
Very uncomfortable during this movie. Like,
yeah.
To the point where we almost started like taking pictures of you.
No, we did.
Take pictures.
Oh, did you? And
no,
she posted them.
To the point
them, yeah.
where like I was like, should we?
She
I started
was asking
to feel
me to stop
real
it.
Guilty.
I mean, you should have because it's a bad, bad, scary
oh,
fucking
no.
movie. But honestly, up to that point, right? Because it wasn't scary. It was just autopsy. They didn't really show you any graphic stuff up to that point because they were done for the day. Brian
yeah.
Cox was cleaning up, and he was showing his girlfriend around the place. It wasn't
right,
a big
and they
deal.
Were about to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the cop comes in and brings in the Jane Doe body, right?
Right, right.
And then she's just naked and hot, so I was like, I'm on board for this. Got some like late 70s bush, but whatever. And then
then we get like 30 minutes of an autopsy.
No, we get the conversation where they're supposed to go to a movie.
Right.
And
Emile
right.
Hirsch,
Hirsch
and her boyfriend. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And he says, come
Emile
back.
Emile Hirsch and her girlfriend. Emile Hirsch is a man.
Look,
Emile
it's
Hirsch
very confusing.
And his
what
girlfriend.
What happened out in that wild?
Listen, he's probably as self-identifies as an attack helicopter sexually, so like I can call him whatever I want.
Let's just drop the pronouns, guys.
Yeah, let's just drop pronouns.
They are harmful.
They, let's refer to everybody as they.
Yeah, they.
Because we just
they, don't. Emile Hirsch.
Anywho.
Okay.
This is very
so
confusing.
He basically tells her, come back in a few hours.
Yes.
I'm going to help my dad.
And we figure out that the dad wants him to go into the family business, but he
yes.
doesn't want to.
I don't want your dead lie.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Guys, I booked it.
Just
you
like
did, you booked it?
Just like the beak.
I love that movie.
I'll Dave, say this.
Let us randomly
I'd give that
drop.
Movie a 10.
A 10.
A fucking 10.
A 10.
Penny's dropping all the way down.
Can we just watch more City Blues inside?
I love that movie.
Me too. So anyway, girlfriend bones out. Emile Hirsch goes back to help dad.
Yeah, she's going to come back. They're going to go to a midnight movie. Yes.
Right.
And we also find out that his mom is dead.
Right. And so Emile Hirsch goes back to the Cox. That's what I'm going to call him the whole time, guys.
the Cox.
He is
oh,
now
yeah.
the Cox. Because there's comedy gold
in
there and we're going
to
find
out.
It. Yeah. So he's going
to
back that Cox up.
Okay.
Whatever, guys.
Jennifer, this is where you're going to come in handy.
Oh, yeah. Like with knowledge and
for
stuff.
For once.
Yeah. There's
since
so
the
much,
tone talk.
There's so much shit that happens in this autopsy.
Oh God, I'm going to be so mean in this episode. Yeah, okay, so what
there's so much shit that
out?
Happens in this autopsy. Can
yeah.
you tell us what matters? Like, what
yeah,
were the
things
that really
matter? Because a lot of this
really
doesn't matter except to make Todd, like, writhe around
it
in
was
misery.
Gross
it was
like,
really
don't
gross.
Get me wrong and I like stuff like that but I'm with Todd this movie's fucking gross
yeah oh yeah
it's just gross
I don't like a lot of gore and I think that's intentional I yeah. think it's supposed to be.
I didn't get my normal erection like I should have
you know what we're not gonna bring that
maybe it was something
world.
It was something about her being dead already I don't know
yeah and like
yeah
when they
yeah.
like cut her skin open.
Ew.
Yeah. Okay, so what they're doing is they're looking at her. They're like doing the external exam. They're looking because from the outside they can't see anything different.
No,
you know?
Well they see
like,
peat, which is like a
thick her,
kind
yeah.
of dirt, peat
mm-hmm.
under her fingernails.
Yeah.
But other than that, she's
and they see
extremely
that her eyes
clean,
are
gray.
Or
yeah,
gray. But
gray
even
eyes.
Then, like they had to open her eyes to see that. So from the outside, other than the fact that she's not alive, you can't tell anything is different.
Or is she alive?
Is she? I always think of that part in A Few Good Men where like so no episode no evidence of foul play and he's like other than the dead body.
Yeah, yeah.
Walks
that's
right
great.
That every time.
That's great.
Probably.
Yeah. What are you
going to
arrest my client that. With? Possession of a condiment?
That's probably my favorite screenplay movie. Of all time.
Where the fuck are
okay,
we?
Okay, so they're examining the body.
Right.
They can't find anything. Then oh, but they do find that her wrists and ankles are broken.
Yeah, and what was going on with her waist? There was something
yeah,
going on
it
with her waist.
Yeah, then it was too tight because it was like you could do that with corset training, which apparently is a thing too.
Okay.
Yes, but that's actually a nod to that this body
is
spoilers,
old.
200, 300 years old.
Right, and
right.
the dirt under her fingers too.
Right.
They're like, I don't know where you would even find
right.
that anymore. Yeah, and it
and
was
then also the main incision, way too much blood.
Oh, yeah. Then they just cut her open. Oh, no,
right.
no. They open her mouth. They find out her tongue has been taken out.
Oh,
yes.
yeah. That was,
yep.
that was
and
disgusting.
And then a fly flies out of her
ew.
Nose. Yeah, it's all
gross.
It's really gross.
Honestly,
super,
this,
super
is when
gross.
I, this is when I took the pillow and yeah. put it in my lap and like stuck my head down, pulled my hat down real low.
Yeah.
If you want to see a picture, it's on Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter, yeah.
It was fucking it wasn't scary at all.
It
really.
Was gross and
it was
really,
really
uncomfortable.
Gross. And whoever's doing the Foley work for this stuff, crushing it with the yeah. grossest sounds possible.
Because he takes like hedge clippers and like cuts her rib cage out.
Oh my
and then,
God.
Okay,
that was
so
pretty cool.
Then they start. Yeah.
So she could give herself head?
Jesus.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, that's a Marilyn Manson joke. I thought it was funny,
oh,
but fuck you guys.
Taking
for
the
not
ribs
yeah,
out?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The biggest rumor of 1999.
I know. I know. If you graduated around the time we did.
No, the other biggest rumor was that he was the guy from The Wonder Years, right?
Yes, that was the other one. But the other one, the one about auto-filleting is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I've been trying
for
years.
See, women take ribs out to make themselves skinnier, like Cher, and men take ribs out so they can
if
make themselves skinnier.
If I could turn
I love that song.
Yeah, I love
that. Sounded like you were trying to give yourself fellatio.
I was.
And then the next thing is that the cat happens, I think. So they hear
yeah,
a noise in the hallway. Yeah.
But the cat the cat is used for fake jump scares throughout the beginning of the movie. Yes. You see the cat a few times.
The cat hisses at the witch.
Oh, there is a... Yes,
and
the
then
cat does.
The cat immediately dies.
Not immediate.
Well,
if you say immediate it means it dies immediately.
The timeline of the movie. We don't see
the
cat
next
do
time
anything
you see the
else.
Cat, yes.
It's, so they hear a sound in the air vent and Emil
We're not
Hirsch,
even there yet. We'll get back
are.
To the cat.
Here we are. The cat.
I mean, are we going to skip the whole autopsy? Because we've only talked about the beginning where we see the...
Yeah, and then I think the cat thing happens.
The cat hisses and then leaves the room.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was talking about because, I mean...
The cat hisses and leaves the room when the cop is still there. Then they have the external autopsy.
Yeah.
Then they hear the noise and he goes to examine.
All right.
And the autopsy...
I think you're right.
The autopsy...
Right. Yeah.
The
sorry,
autopsy
sorry,
legit
sorry.
Is a third of this movie.
Yes,
which
and
is,
that's so bad. Like... They're literally not shit happens for the first 45 fucking minutes of this movie. Not
I'm with
shit
Todd. I'm
happens.
Sorry. It's a slow,
it is so
slow,
painful
slow movie.
To watch. Because it really is just, hey, let's see if we can gross you out for 50 fucking minutes before any story happens. And then when the story happens, they're like, we better shoehorn in some exposition real quick.
They did
so
not have
one
the money.
Fucking scene where they talk about why the shit happens and it's very vague and stupid. And instead of having like actual facts, it's just them speculating on what it could have been. We don't know for sure if that's it. And then the movie ends.
I would argue it's that there is definitely, I normally wouldn't argue this. I definitely would
You're
argue
so
there's a,
mad
there's
at
a
me
better,
right now.
There's a
no,
better,
I'm not. I'm just
slightly more expensive movie in there somewhere.
Yep.
No. I really thought there was going to be at least an hour of them being haunted.
Yep.
And we need some more people in this movie so that they can be ripped
movie?
To shreds.
We don't need any more people in this movie. Okay.
There's too much dick
to,
in this movie, Jen.
They're about to cut into her.
Yes.
And the cat dies. And we go and find the cat. The cat has been horribly injured somehow.
On the way to find the cat, that's when you see the first ghost-ish thing.
And not actually.
Mirror,
yeah.
And
the mirror,
not actually
mirror.
Dead,
I love
right?
That mirror.
Doesn't he break its neck later?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The cat is injured.
Okay.
There's something wrong with the cat. The
it
cat
doesn't
is
really
in pain.
Show it. Yeah. But
then Brian Cox cannot figure out any way to save this cat.
Well,
so he
I mean,
just
it
kills the cat
like,
to put it out of its misery.
It looked
so
like
the
cat was
no
cut open.
No longer a problem.
Yeah, it looks like the cat was cut open, and there's probably no saving it. There was like looks between the two of them like it's not
it was
gonna,
sad.
It
yeah.
was very sad. They it's, were not happy. Brian
they were
Cox
not.
Talks about when he gets back in the when the Cox comes back in the autopsy room, he talks about how it was like the last thing that tied the mother to him, you know, because it was her cat or whatever. So he was really sad about it. It wasn't like he was like, yes,
nothing he
I get
can
to
do,
fucking
though.
Kill this cat.
No,
he was really sad
I don't
about
think
it.
He wanted to kill the cat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he immediately threw it in
the incinerator. And then just walked off. He needed a couple of minutes, and then he's fine.
Yep.
Going back to work. Yep.
He's a man.
That cat, yeah.
That's because pets
That's
suck.
The fucking point of this movie.
What?
We'll get there.
Oh.
Yo, she's like, y'all gonna learn today.
Little tease.
Okay, so then we go to the internal part of
the that's when they start,
autopsy.
This is,
and we start to hear thunder.
So gross. Or do we hear thunder?
Well, Clint kept asking.
No.
I did.
No. I'll say this. We definitely do hear thunder. But
we do. Okay. But at the beginning, they were talking about sunshine. It's supposed to be another great day.
And at the end, when the cop is there moving the body, the radio is playing the real radio. And it's saying, another great day of sunshine. Four days in a row or whatever, letting you know that what they're hearing is not what is actually going on.
Right. Yeah. And then.
But so yeah, you were right. It does. You do hear it.
You start to hear thunder. The radio, they start to talk about how the storm's coming. It's going to rain. Yeah. And so then they start cutting her open. They do the Y cut. It's really gross.
Blood comes out, which is weird.
Yeah, they're not supposed to have blood coming out.
When she's been dead for 200 years.
Right.
Yeah. But even then, the Cox is like, listen, I've seen this before. It's super
it
rare, caused by pressure, but it's rare. So he sort of explains it away, which I'm sure you could do.
And he's kind of running around investigating, like everything that he finds. He'll go get like a book off the shelf and immediately, you know, figure out what, I remember reading this in this book and this is what happened.
And Emilio.
Do I remember exactly what happened? No.
And Emilio Hirsch is like, I think something's a little weird. And the dad's like, no, it's impossible. It's just a body. We'll figure it out. It's right here. We'll get mm-hmm. it. You know?
Yeah. But I mean, he's been doing it longer. Like, right. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, he's older.
I bought that. Yeah, the Cox knows what he's doing. Listen, ladies. Listen to the Cox.
You got to trust the Cox. Always trust the Cox.
Yes, she said it clean. I can use that for everything now because no one was talking over it. Oh, my God. I'm sending that to everyone I know.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Without... The biggest feminist I know said, you got to trust the Cox. I'm leaving that in.
Am I the biggest feminist you know?
Yes. Not by size, but yes.
Jesus.
I said not by size. No. You're not a big
now
person.
I'm thinking about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they start cutting her open, and what do they start finding? Oh, they look at her lungs, and they
the
realize
lungs are blackened.
That her lungs are super black, and they're like, she could have smoked 10 packs a day, and it would never
for 30,
get this.
For 30 years. And there's no way she's even 30.
Right.
Those tits ain't 30, baby. Those tits are not 30.
I mean, you never see them, like,
and isn't
standing
that,
up.
Isn't
action.
That the real crime? Isn't that the real crime?
That is the real crime.
Thank
Todd.
You for admitting it.
Jennifer did promise a lot of nudity
I did.
To Todd.
There
and
was
there
nudity
was
zero, throughout.
There was zero usable nudity. I am sad, ladies.
Oh. Yeah, so they start cutting her up. What else do they find?
Stab wounds.
Stab wounds on her internal organs.
They more or less find out that she's been tortured.
Yes, she's been tortured, but there are no external...
injuries.
Like
right.
they can't figure
yeah,
out
right.
how there's so much damage inside
and
her.
And he says things like, it's like finding a bullet in the brain, but there's no gunshot.
No gunshot.
Right.
Right.
right. So,
and they find in her stomach, I think, they find a piece of fabric with her tooth inside that had been,
forced on her throat.
Out.
She had to swallow.
No, she had to swallow and it's got like some kind of old writing on it or something and they can't figure it out. And they find like a paralyzing flower in her.
A paralyzing agent in
yes,
the flower.
So yeah, they find out all this terrible shit and they start writing it up on the board and they were like, why would anybody do this? Like,
and like her wrists and ankles are broken and all that shit.
One of these things would have killed her. Why? But she's still like, why would they want to do it? And so, she has been tortured.
Yes.
And they wanted her to be tortured. So they're starting to think it's like some kind of sex trafficking thing, which is what I thought.
Sure. And that's when they look in her vagine.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like cuts
is that
and stuff.
The
and
technical term.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say
the technical
vagina.
Term is vajayjay.
Vajayjay. Bad, yeah. Bad. You do watch Grey's Anatomy, don't you?
Thursday night football.
Yeah.
They're all up in this chick's guts.
Yeah.
And this time I mean it literally, not sexually.
Mm-hmm. And then they actually see, like, they open up her skin on her torso.
Oh, that's
and
much,
find
much later.
All this writing. No, it's not. I wrote it down. They find all this writing inside her skin.
Gross.
Yeah, it's so gross. And that's when all the lights
shit. Yeah, so
start.
This is the end of the autopsy.
This is
then.
When shit
Pretty
starts
much.
Going down.
Yeah, the end of the autopsy. Once they have completely cut her open.
Yeah. This is actually pretty funny because all the lights blow out, right? Emil Hirsch, fat Emil Hirsch.
Who has been saying, this is weird.
Yeah,
let's
he's like, we.
Here.
I'm getting too young for this shit.
And the dad's like, no, we got
to
do this. Well, this is our job. Like, we finish it.
Right.
Yeah. He gave him the option to leave even then, I think, though.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he's like, you can leave. He, like, totally guilted him. He's like, if you want to just destroy all of our
and
lives,
he
should have
left.
Didn't even call his girlfriend. That was a mistake because of what happens later.
Yeah, we'll get there. Can we just go to this fucking movie? Anyway, so.
What movie are we talking about?
I think Three Musketeers. No, Daniel!
No.
Anyway.
He's got to get it in every time,
every
right?
Listen, ladies, I got to get it in every
time.
I love that you pick
in.
A movie that I love to do that with.
That's why I pick it. It's a movie that we love together.
Yeah. Do you remember we were shooting Franklin Sweetheart and we would watch The Three Musketeers while we were shooting that movie?
Yes.
Like during downtime?
Yes.
Anyway, greatest cast ever.
It was. Didn't you have sex with the lead?
Sorry, why now?
Oh, for Kiefer Sutherland?
Three Musketeers. Not our movie.
My bad.
I thought you were like, have you had sex with Kiefer Sutherland, sir?
I mean.
Like,
he's not the lead.
I have had physical contact with Kiefer Sutherland, true story.
Really?
Yeah. Woo! I'll tell you that story.
He was one of my
later.
First movie crushes ever. Lost Boys.
Dear
Stand
God.
By me.
Save the king!
Oh, dude, yeah.
Best
he's got the,
line
he's got the raspy
ever.
Voice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he does.
Jack Bauer
so
voice.
Oh, yeah.
He's a so short good. Motherfucker, man.
Can we just get through this fucking movie? All right, so all the lights blow out.
Yeah.
They fall to the ground. Emil Hirsch gets on his phone and uses his flash on the phone, shows that everyone that was in like the cooler, the
all
body
the drawers
cooler, are
out.
And they're gone. There's just nobody there. And he shows the dad, he illuminates his cox, his dad, with the flashlight. And the dad immediately pulls a Kevin Bacon from Tremors. we got to get the fuck out of here.
I laughed so hard.
I love that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only good part of this movie, guys.
Yeah. In most movies, it would be in a situation, you know, like this guy's in his actual basement. And he's like, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Right. Yeah. Like this is where they should feel safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the turn when the dad starts to see that shit's going wrong, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is when freaky stuff starts, starts
like
going down.
Blatantly freaky stuff. Like, you're there's no convincing yourself that it's not happening anymore. Yeah, so then they try to get to the office.
I think they go, well, the elevator's not working because the power's out. I think that's when they try and go to the storm door.
And they realize that the tree fell on it and they can't get out.
Or did
and all the other bodies, all the other bodies except for Jane. All the other bodies are loose.
So they're basically, and they've got that chick cut open on the table. So so they go to the office and they're trying to call to get the cop to come rescue them
on a goddamn landline.
And then
the cell phones, boys.
Well, they don't get
service.
Phones.
Well, they were using the cell phones.
He was walking around trying to get service.
But,
we'll call in the office, maybe, because they're in a basement, you know, and it's like a tornado.
Well, and honestly, like there's some supernatural shit happening. Yeah. It probably would have worked.
Yeah, she had a cell blocker.
Yeah, definitely had a cell blocker on. So they go. That's when they
go
to
the office.
She just interferes with the Wi-Fi, guys.
Right.
Is that why we had trouble watching this movie?
We had so much trouble watching this movie.
We did. I know. I started.
Almost
get
abandoned
really
it for another movie.
Jen's husband literally saved the day.
He did.
She's blushing.
They're having a hard time getting through on the landline too, and then we start to hear a bell. And at first you're like, what the fuck? And then they kind of draw it out and you hear a bell, and you start to realize it's footsteps attached to this bell. And then Emilio Hirsch,
footsteps because you saw the bell on the body.
Right.
On his ankle. Yeah, you know what it is.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get down and then you see the feet right in front of the door, and then the door starts shaking and I loved it.
And they moved.
It didn't
that.
Just go away and we had to wait for another spooky thing. Like, they went for it at this point, you know?
Yeah. But then they moved the filing cabinet? It was a filing cabinet.
They moved the filing cabinet.
They moved that filing cabinet
they
over
Friday
in front of
the door. They Friday the 13th that door.
Well, no. Friday the 13th was ridiculous. I would definitely move the Friday. I would definitely move the filing cabinet.
19 other filing cabinets against the door, but then, like, jumped through the windows.
Why are you standing up?
You were standing up like giving a presentation right now.
I know. I'm reading the room, man. I'm like Miss Maisel and everything.
I do
too.
Her tits. Jeez. Wait, what were you going to say?
That is not what I thought you were going
to
say.
My bad. No, I love that show.
I would go home to those tits.
I mean, that's part of the show. Yeah. She that is one of the best shows out right now.
It really is. Yeah. It was
The Marvelous Miss Maisel on Amazon, guys. Check it out.
Yep. Check it out. So then they're trying to get out. They're like, what the fuck is going on? Brian Cox goes into the bathroom. And then there's some kind of crazy guy in the bat, one of the bodies in the bathroom, too.
Okay. So I hate horror movies, and this really scared me. But I thought it was well done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really done.
Emile
really
Hirsch
scary.
Is in the office. Mm-hmm. The Cox is in the bathroom. Emile Hirsch sees
that's
a shadow.
Where they should stay.
Right. Emile Hirsch sees the shadow of a man.
And then pulls the
Brian
curtain
Cox.
Back and there's nobody there.
Well, Brian Cox moves it. Emile Hirsch is still sitting in the office and there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows Brian Cox it shows Brian Cox in the bathroom from his son's perspective.
Yeah.
And then he gets yanked out of frame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Emile Hirsch goes and runs in and then the door slowly opens to the office.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and he's banging on the bathroom door and then you hear the door open and he bangs on it and it goes through. So like the spirit or the body or whatever it was. Yeah, but I don't really know.
It doesn't matter.
I mean,
it doesn't matter because it's a shitty movie. They never explain it.
Wait, at one point you were like, so they're magically gone now? And I was like, well, they were magically there. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They're
struggled with the rules of this picture.
Yeah, so we agree the rules of this are stupid as fuck.
No, the rules are fuck you. I'm going to do whatever I want. And I'm going to fuck with you.
Burn it down.
The rules. It's like, that's why the rules to Hereditary don't make sense.
I need rules.
Yeah.
Me too. That's why I hated this movie.
Yeah, I know you guys need rules.
I need parameters.
Yeah, I know. It's called the patriarchy.
Brian Cox gets knocked around by this thing. Like, you kind of hear it.
And he sees the eyes are gray.
Yes, he says, the eyes are gray. They were her eyes.
Yes.
So we're starting to think
but
maybe
it wasn't
she's...
her. It was another body. It was probably
right. It was a body. But, I mean, I guess the implication would be that she had taken possession of that body.
I mean, in theory, because we know the bodies are loose, it's basically the bodies fucking with everybody. Like, I don't think it's, I don't think it's...
Well, they're like puppet bodies, you know?
Yeah.
She's just causing crazy shit.
I got the vibe that either she was in control of the bodies, or...
She's in control of the bodies.
Or they were like acolytes that she was controlling, but they still were like whatever, but it never explains
it.
But to me...
Because it doesn't matter. She's causing crazy shit to happen.
It definitely is her that is causing it, but to me... why wouldn't she just get up if she could control her body? So, like, I don't know. It's a really bad movie.
It's not a bad movie. It's awesome. And the first time I watched this, I wasn't, like, I was still thinking of her as the victim, and there was some outside force that had done all of this stuff, and I thought the outside force was what was doing all this shit. And then this is when you really start
Jen,
to think, yes.
She was the victim.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but she's causing this.
Don't victim blame.
That's what I'm saying.
What was she wearing when they tortured her, Jen?
Exactly.
What was she wearing?
Oh, we'll get to it.
Don't victim blame.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is I thought this is when you start to realize that she's not the victim anymore. She's causing this stuff to
happen.
So
you think this is sort of like a rape revenge movie on some level?
It's a witch
We
movie.
Haven't even gotten to the whole genre of rape revenge with you yet,
oh,
sir.
Oh, man.
I'm out.
You're not ready for that.
No. I am
that's
not
some,
ready for
that's
that.
Some year three.
I wasn't ready for
I'm
this.
I'm not
year
ready for that. Because I got some shit to say about that, too.
Yeah, no shit.
So, yeah, they're in the hall. What do they do then? Do they go back?
Yeah, that's when they go. That's when they first go back into the autopsy room.
They go back into the autopsy room.
Yes. And they bar the door, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to look for other clues, or they're trying to figure out what's going on. Because when they're in the office, Emile Hirsch is like, this all started when she got
here. When
we
cut her open.
This all started when we cut her open. Something is going on with that body. We've got to find out what's going on with that body.
Yes.
And so they go in there, and he bars the door with like a mop broom, like a mop or a broom
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's actually a
puts
metal pole.
Puts it through the handles.
Yeah, puts it through the handles, and whatever.
Like so many mugs.
And then they start CSI Miami-ing all over.
Yes, they're trying to figure out what's going on so they can make it stop. They're trying to get Samara out of the well so they can fix everything.
Sure, sure. But does it fix everything?
No.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. You're not supposed to help her. They start hearing footsteps in the hall again. Yes. Do they hear the bell, or is he just looking out the window or something?
No, they hear the bell.
No,
and that's
because it's Stitch's lady.
Hear the bell.
Okay. Have we talked about the mirror, how sometimes you'll see things standing in the hallway and it's awesome? I loved that mirror.
Yeah, and we mentioned it before. Mm-hmm. They do that a few times.
They do, and it's
great. Effective.
And if you're a horror fan, the second you see that bell and the second you see that mirror, you're like, yes, something is going to happen with this and it's going to be awesome. Did you think that when you saw that mirror? There's something on the other side of the hallway.
I'm not a horror fan, and I knew they were going to do that because this movie is not good.
Oh, it's not bad.
Incorrect.
It was very scary, guys.
very spooky.
I hated
this movie.
There
were really not very many dumb Todd jokes this time.
I was honestly.
You did make a couple.
Because for the first. And a lot of horror movies are like this. The first like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 minutes are setting up for the scary. And the setup for this was so gross.
Yeah.
That I just couldn't even make jokes. I was like head in pillow. Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't do it because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And then honestly, the only reason I didn't like this movie is because it was very scary and the screenplay was bad. And ultimately, it just wasn't a convincing movie to me.
You didn't really believe.
Honestly, it's laughable. Like thinking back on the plot to me is very laughable.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. We can talk about it when we get to it. But
will.
Yeah,
no,
it's real laughable.
You're allowed to think that if you want to. I'm not going to be mad.
And I do.
Okay. So then they go back and they see he starts like trying to axe the door down because they're trying to get out. Is there a body or is there one of the bodies running around the autopsy room too?
No, there's not a body in the autopsy room, but they hear the bell and he's
Well, aren't we coming up on the elevator?
Yeah, yes. They can't get out, so he axes the door, then they see the corpse in front,
so that's
and
what
she's
it
like
is.
Pulling all the stitches.
Well, who it was at first was the faceless guy.
Yeah.
And then,
with the bell. The faceless guy's the bell guy.
So then they're running, they're trying to get the elevator. Then,
well, because they get the door open and
they
run
get
the door
the open,
elevator.
They
yeah.
run to the elevator. The elevator's like, somebody's already on it or something. I don't know. They can't get there. The only people in the house that are using this elevator can't get the elevator to work. So then we start hearing the bell. We start seeing through the mirror that this face dude is coming
around. Faceless the dude.
Yeah. What is Facey McFace gone or
Facey
something?
Facey McFaceless.
Yeah. So we start seeing him. So they get to the elevator and they're trying to get in. They're trying to get
before
in.
Before the faceless man gets
and
there.
The Cox has got his axe. He's got his Otis ready.
Yeah. The Cox is using that Otis.
Yeah. He's just going to town on that Otis.
Clint. I'm going to start calling my penis the Otis.
So what happens happens next happens in a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
The accidental kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they finally get into the elevator.
Yeah.
And then the elevator door won't close all the way, so Brian Cox is standing at the ready with his Otis or axe in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the faceless man comes up to them,
he just chops it out the
elevator.
He
chops out the window, and then you realize
that. And then we hear a girlfriend making sound.
Right. Then you realize that it wasn't the faceless man, it was the girlfriend, which was never explained. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, because she, they saw what
I
they...
think that he asked her to meet him back.
He did.
At, a le- at later.
Yeah, because they were going to go to their midnight movie.
Sure,
and
sure, sure.
Was
and they
sad.
Already established that she could get down there on her own.
And they
so
were.
So she
yeah.
went looking for them. Oh, okay. Well, you
they
just,
weren't
you
seeing
just said,
reality.
Right. But the elevator didn't work. And there was no way in other than the storm door. And the storm door was blocked. So how did she get in?
Well, maybe she took the elevator down and it worked.
Oh,
for
the one
her
that didn't work?
Because she's living in reality and they are not.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Maybe
yeah.
she
but yeah,
came
I mean,
down.
Again,
while
this is
they
another
were...
this is another scene where I really struggle with the rules because we see yeah. the face.
There are no rules.
We see the faceless
yeah.
guy,
yeah,
and then
so
I guess
dumb.
The faceless guy vanishes or was standing
yep.
in front of the girl. Like
yep.
it's not explained.
Nope.
No.
So yeah, this
I don't
sucks.
Need it explained.
This sucks for this guy.
Yeah.
Had a girl
and
that was
dad.
Totally fine with his creepy ass job.
Yeah. She
yeah.
was into it.
Was kind of
and
turned
then
on by it.
And then dad murdered her.
Yeah, chops yeah. her with the axe.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I mean, listen, if you're going to walk around a morgue, you're probably going to get killed at some point.
I mean, she yeah. was asking for it, right?
She. I mean, did you see what she was wearing?
That skirt, though.
I actually did say when she was looking at the body, I mean, it was like, yo, that skirt, man, she could get it.
You did. And she did get it.
She did get it. But what she got was an Otis, not
an
my
Otis,
Otis but an axe Otis.
Some
yeah.
Otis decorated her neck.
Oh, yeah.
So
all over
this accidental
neck.
Kill of a friend or a girlfriend is just a typical cliche. Like, it's happened in a lot of Friday the 13th movies.
That does not surprise me.
I remember part 8, there was one where a guy lost his eyeglasses, and so he's, like, mm-hmm. looking for Jason, and he shoots a friend mm-hmm. in the fucking face.
Really?
The Strangers.
Wait, did he shoot him in the
Strangers?
Face?
Strangers is a big one where he
he's
shoots
the
his friend.
This?
What's
oh,
that?
Yeah, maybe that's the guy.
Yeah, he's the faceless man. That's where it comes from. That's where the faceless man
are
came
we
from.
Tying
Do yes. we ever
Jason
see Jason
Manhattan
and Jane Doe
to the autopsy
in the
of Jane Doe?
So, yeah, this movie is just, it really bothered me that there were no rules.
Yeah, it sucks
it
when there are
no too.
Rules.
It bothered me, too. Not as much as you.
It's
but
not
it,
that
it,
there are no rules.
No,
it's
it is.
The rules keep changing.
That's true.
Okay,
and I
can
give
I ask
it a,
what the difference is between having no rules and the rules keep changing?
There's not really that much difference.
Or
but
any at all?
Because here's what happens when the rules keep changing is you are operating under the assumption that there are rules and you are playing by the rules. And then all of a sudden you get stabbed in the back when you realize that the rules have changed and you didn't know. And you thought you were doing the right thing and you thought you were playing within the boundaries of these rules. And then all of a sudden you're fucked because the rules have changed and nobody told you.
Are we still talking about the movie?
But
yeah,
they
that's
still
just called, that's just called bad writing.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
called
that was
the
a
patriarchy.
Very, that was a very well
exactly.
done monologue though.
Yeah.
So then, and so then they go into the elevator
right.
and they have their conversation and Brian Cox is like, yeah, that's how I felt when your mom died. And so that's when the and it's
and
like,
he's like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom was not stabbed by an axe.
No, mom was depressed and Brian Cox didn't do anything about it. And
uh-oh.
So mom killed herself.
Did he do the autopsy?
He probably, well, I don't know. I don't think you're supposed
she's
to
autopsy
your loved
somewhere.
Ones. Yeah, she's been
she's
dead
been
for
dead,
10
but
years.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we find out that, and he still feels guilty about this, and he could have done something to save her, but he wasn't listening to her. He wasn't hearing. He wasn't seeing.
Well, she was a woman.
Just like a man.
Exactly.
Right.
Not paying
yeah.
attention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when her cat gets sick and dies, there's nothing he can do about it, so he just puts it out of its misery.
Jen,
well,
I have a question.
It did look like there was nothing yep. he could do about it.
And I feel like this would have made the movie far more interesting. Do you think it should have been a mother and a daughter?
No.
I feel like, no? You
no.
Don't? Okay. You
not
think they
at all.
Made, you think both because of them would have made it out alive, these two dipshits?
Yeah, probably. I don't think a mother and a daughter would have...
Really? I
no,
thought that
I don't think
made
they
would have
been in this situation.
Then.
No,
oh, okay.
I don't think the witch would have fucked with a mother and a daughter.
Oh, excellent point.
Yeah.
Are you saying dudes can't be witches?
No,
well, they're
dudes
not.
Can
they're
be
warlocks.
Witches, but witches want to fuck with men.
Interesting.
Because men are the ones that did all this shit.
Well, that's not historically
not
accurate,
all men.
But all right. Well, no, I mean, that's not even historically accurate that women didn't
Todd.
Torture
well, that's
witches.
True.
So,
Todd.
Yeah, but...
Todd.
What?
Watch a little movie called Hocus Pocus.
I've seen Hocus
back,
Pocus.
To get the background
on
what the men...
My ex-girlfriend cheated on me. Loved that movie, so we watched it a few times.
Oh, wow.
It's a good
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's a good movie.
I wonder if we could slip that in. It was a little Halloween
did.
Special.
I'd do it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Haven't you never seen that? That's crazy.
Haven't like you to, never seen that?
Haven't
she
you
has never,
seen
Hocus Pocus.
We're from
Pocus.
The South, guys.
That is...
Ain't you never seen it? Woo!
It's got that Betsy Midler in it.
Wow.
She's the best.
Oh, I'm out. Yeah. What the fuck are we even talking about, guys?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they're like, if we can just figure out why this is all happening, if we can just find the reason, then
right,
maybe she'll
right.
stop.
So they're basically yeah. like, yeah. And the, and
if
that's,
we can just fix
yeah,
her, maybe she'll stop.
That's the solution for a lot of horror movies. If we can just investigate and figure out what she wants.
If we can
what
get Samara out of the well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
If we can just
right.
fix this.
So that's their Samara out of the well moment.
Yeah.
And they run back to the autopsy room.
Uh-huh.
They bar the door.
And it's real smoky, too, and they get, like, accosted by all the bodies, and that's when his glasses break.
So the smoky... Well, okay, so it was the smoke from... Okay, do you think the cat had it out for him? Let me finish.
the cat came back.
Because he threw the cat in the incinerator. Mm-hmm. They incinerated the cat. The cat's ashes create the smoke, and then as they're walking through the smoke to get into the autopsy room, that's when Brian Cox gets slashed up.
Maybe the cat is an extension of the mother.
Or the cat was just mad. It was like, I totally could have made it through that stomach wound.
I got like
Why'd
seven more lives,
neck?
Fucker.
I know. I had seven lives left.
You burned them all up, you piece of shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically killed Jinx from Hocus Pocus.
The cat's revenge.
So they get back to
Binks,
the autopsy room.
Correction.
So anyway.
Binks, not Jinx.
Uh-oh. So we just had so many listeners email. Well, all seven of our listeners email us.
So the cat, sorry.
The cat comes back.
So Brian Cox gets slashed in the hallway. Eventually, he gets up and goes back in. Because they're not life-threatening.
Uh-huh.
They are just torturing him like she was tortured.
Right.
Which is what they discover when they go back in there. But so they go back in the autopsy room.
Yes. Right. She wants them alive so that she can torture them. They go back in the autopsy room. They're like, just take her to the crematorium.
What's really going on here is we have no money for locations. So we're just going in circles.
No, what's going on is they're trapped.
Exactly. Well, what Clint said.
Well, yeah, but because they
have
no money.
And what you said. They're trapped. Honestly, this
They're
is...
They're trapped in a budget, Jen.
Where would they go?
I don't know.
Gonna,
to
like,
a bigger studio to get
the,
more
like,
money
to
and
the
then have
hospital
a budget.
Or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe,
they can't get out. That's the point. It's like the family at the beginning. They're trying to break out.
Well, if it were John McClane, Jennifer,
now
they
got
would
a machine
climb
gun. They
up
have a
the elevator shaft.
Mm, yeah.
Or take that axe to the cellar door.
Yeah.
Just some ideas. But just some ideas.
I agree with you.
Right.
It's a low-budget movie with a horrible script that made it into a movie.
Well, while this is going on, I am just very disappointed that there are only two main actors in this movie. I needed a higher body count. Like, couldn't they have had a couple of nerdy assistants or something and had them get picked off? And then we get into the father-son stuff.
I didn't mind that there weren't as many people in this that died.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Because you don't like the kills.
I don't. And there was plenty of scary shit. Like, I at one point was laying down on the pod sofa, like, with the pillow on me, like, very uncomfortable.
It was a spooky movie, and it did do well with the atmosphere and the execution of what was going on. I'll give it that.
I just needed
a couple of more bodies. And either that, or I need an extra 20 to 30 minutes to really, really feel a connection between this father and son, because, like, when they bit it, I didn't.
So let's get to how they bite it.
So they realize they can't get her out of that room.
Well,
so
because
they just...
the door locks.
And then
the son runs to the door and tries to get the door open.
Shit's still
and
just
that's
going
when,
crazy.
That's when the Cox leans over to her face and is like,
no,
save.
That's when he pours gasoline all over
her and
lights them on fire.
You're right, my bad.
And then that lights everything in the room on fire.
Yes.
And so they're trying to put the fire out, and then...
I like this effect. They use the fire extinguisher to put the fire out in the room.
Yeah.
Not her.
Right.
But as they put the fire out in the room, the fire on her starts to dissipate.
Yes. And
but
then,
they're not at all trying to set the turn her off.
Exactly.
A fire. Mm. She extinguishes it.
She extinguishes herself, and then we see that she's not burned at all.
Yes, absolutely.
And okay, here's one thing I love about this movie is as you see her face throughout the movie, she's slowly becoming more sinister, you know? And they do a lot of face to, like, camera, you know?
You got to say the line, because I want to say it so bad.
What?
When I say, okay, I'll just recreate it. Because when we were watching the movie, I was like, man, she has the best resting face.
Yeah, okay, okay,
and then you said,
resting witch face.
There you go. I didn't want to take it from you because you'd be like, quit stealing my lines.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a new t-shirt idea.
Resting witch face. Dude, yes.
Yeah.
That's when, like, Emile Hirsch, I think he honestly is trying to get out the door, and that's when the Cox gets right in her face.
Yeah, and I think we might have a couple of these instances mixed up. Like when they go to the elevator, when they set people on fire. Anyway, I apologize if we're doing this
right,
a
but
bit
we're hitting the key points.
Exactly.
But anyway, Brian Cox leans into her face and is like, please don't hurt my son. Sort of take me.
Oh, they cut open her brain.
Yeah.
And they realize that she's still alive.
Yes.
Too.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
How can
and he's
still
discovered
be alive?
At this point that
he
is absorbing the same, he's basically absorbing her injuries. Remember when he made that connection, like right when he was
Yes, this was right before he said something
to her.
She
wants him to feel it. She wants them to feel it. Because they find out, they fold the thing in half, and they find this Bible verse that
Leviticus 27.
She is a witch, and that's when they're like, oh, okay.
Well, it's like a whole thing.
Well,
the verse isn't just, she is a witch.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's an actual verse.
Yeah.
What is the verse, Don?
Leviticus 27.
And what is that verse?
I don't fucking know. Leviticus is all about like Old Testament like punishments for things, right? Like, don't eat fucking...
pork.
Lobsters, they're pork.
Don't touch pig
on Sundays or whatever. Anyway, all that stuff. But one of the things in Leviticus is about, you know, witches, and if they are a witch, you have to kill them.
Yeah.
Right. So that's their
blood is on their own head.
Right. So that's what they find.
And
out.
So
I much prefer the sequel, Deuteronomy.
You just like to say Deuteronomy. Is that your favorite of the Pentateuch?
Deuteronomy.
The Pentateuch?
Pentateuch.
Oh, Pentateuch sounds like you're doing something in the bathroom, ladies.
It's like an Upper Decker variation.
Yeah. Do you ever drop an Upper Decker? Can I tell you guys a real story gross? When I was in college, we had co-ed dorms, and it was separated by floor, so it was like...
I thought you didn't go to college.
What?
I did not know you were educated either.
So we went to...
How'd you get into college? Yeah. We went to the same dumbass high school.
True. We would go up to the girls' floor above us. Our revenge was going up to their dorm, and we would lift the seat up, and then we would climb on top of the stall, throw our legs over the stall, and try and shit down into the toilet. So we would be, I don't know, how high is a stall above the toilet?
Ladies.
Like
is single.
It's probably like 5 feet above above the toilet. And sometimes we'd get it in there, sometimes we wouldn't, and then we would just leave.
And did it work? Did they go out with you after that?
Actually, some of them did.
Did they know?
No!
We had a girl in our stairwell that would just vomit in the same corner every day.
What?
And it took forever to figure out who it was.
At least it was the same corner.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was the same corner, and finally her roommate came for it. She had bulimia. But yeah, she was in the same corner.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Well, that's just not...
You're talking about body fluids in dorms.
Well, this is depressing.
Yeah. Body fluids or body solids?
I mean...
Mine was body solids.
Unless it was enchilada night. Unless you've been eating
a lot of Taco Bell. Yeah! I'm still cutting this out, even though that was funny.
Fuck is happening.
All right, so...
Over here. Yeah,
what the fuck movie are we talking about, guys?
We're talking about... Okay, then what happens? Oh, yeah. Okay, so they figure out that she wants to hurt them out of revenge. This is her revenge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
then that's when the cox gets right in her face.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Take me.
Emil Hirsch is
you
occupied.
You so want to say Emilio.
I know you do.
He's at the door trying to figure a way out.
And she does that so she can get alone with the cox. He's looking at her and he's like, just don't hurt him. Take it. Like, let me take all of it. I'll give you your revenge as long as you don't hurt my son. And then it's like child's play and his wrists break and like his ankles break. And Clint started to get
kind
of
giddy. But as he absorbs.
Smoke comes out of his mouth because his lungs are
on fire. But he really is absorbing her injuries because she starts healing from her injuries at the same time.
Yeah, and the smoke comes out, and like you can see, and his eyes start to go a little gray too. Mm-hmm.
Well, they do go full gray. I mean, they go gray.
Yeah, and hers clear. Yeah, and so then he's looking at the scalpel and...
on the ground.
Yeah.
And by he, you mean Brian Cox.
Brian Cox, he's reaching for it. He just wants to die because it's just way too much. And no, gotcha.
Yeah, Emil Hirsch grabs the scalpel and kills his dad.
Yeah, because nobody could ever live with that amount of pain. Right?
Honestly, I really think it's just revenge for the Cox killing his girlfriend.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, he did not know his dad was hurting. He was just finding the right time. No, he was just finding the right time to kill his... Of course he did.
Oh, yeah.
I was making it.
It was all his master plan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He just wanted to take over. He wanted to get his full share of the coroner's.
Yeah, my only girlfriend ever, Dad. Yeah.
I'll never get laid again now.
Yes.
And then everything clears up and it's happy and everything's fine. And the radio turns back through static to normal radio time.
Does it?
Yeah. And then he's like, okay, now I'm sad. But I'm going to get out of here because everything's back to normal because we got Samara out of the well now. Things are returning. And so he starts hearing banging and the cops have come and they're going to cut the tree that's on the door. So he goes up.
Well, they say they've cut the tree on the door. So he runs out.
He runs up the spirally staircase. They're like, let me in or open up. And then we start to hear him say the lyrics of the song
that she's been
playing the whole time. Let the sunshine in.
Well, and then he starts to sing it. And then
he does.
Then, well, I mean, honestly, it's just her, but it sounds like the cop from the very beginning who brought her body.
It does, yeah.
And he starts to sing the song, and that's when Emil Hirsch is like, oh my
God. Yeah. And he looks around, and I think he hears a bell.
He starts to hear the bell.
And if you know, I was looking at this, his eyes get kind of fog.
Do that and see that.
Do get a,
fair enough.
It's hard to tell, but you cannot see his eyes. They
do you
are.
Think you're projecting I couldn't tell it either.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, you can't really see his eyes.
You
thought
can't.
That was just a lighting
I couldn't
issue,
see Brian
but you're
Cox's
right.
eyes either when
well,
you
yeah,
said that
he's
they
dead.
Turned.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, but, when that happened.
Yeah. I don't know if that was intentional, but I took it as okay. intentional. And
you took what as intentional?
That you couldn't see his eyes, that his eyes may have
be.
Been
that may
glassy.
Be. Yeah.
So, yeah, then Brian Cox is right behind him, and he falls over
yeah,
the banister.
Yeah, because Brian Cox is now the bell.
Right,
which
exactly.
doesn't make any sense, because he doesn't have the bell on. That's the faceless guy.
You know, who cares?
Yeah, because there are no rules in this movie, plus, because it's just a you know scare factor, and it's not made to make sense. It's a horrible
yeah.
movie.
No, it's not a horrible movie.
No, you said, yeah, I'm editing it there. That's the edit point.
No, it's an awesome movie, but it sucks. That situation sucks.
So he dies. He falls dies. A story and dies.
Yeah, well, maybe he lands on something. I don't know. He dies.
Did he land on his neck? He'd be fine.
I think so.
He'd be like, that knocked the wind out of me, Dad.
Oh, and now I'm going to get back up and yeah. let the sunshine
unless a graboid got him. I'm he'd gonna, be fine.
Maybe. Yeah. Those tremors, though.
A tremor, baby.
Yeah. So then he is, yeah, then he's dead. And then we cut to the next day or later on when Kruger Cop shows up and.
Kruger Cop? They
I
look nothing alike.
I think he looks
he
like.
He looks nothing like the teacher
false.
From Urban
well,
Legend.
Well, okay. Do false. Either of you have a clever nickname for him?
No.
No, so fuck you. I'm going to call him Kruger Cop.
Let's call him Stalker Channing.
Stalker Channing. Oh, I love her. Not Abby Bartlett.
Me too. I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love her.
Emil is
yeah.
dead.
And it's sunny. There's been no rain. And they find the exact same scene that they found at the beginning. Like people
more
trying
less,
to break
yeah.
out, but they've all been killed. We don't see any of Brian Cox's injuries other than the scalpel.
Yeah.
So it just looks like they all killed each other. And yeah. nothing else is wrong. She has completely healed. So she's just there.
She just looks like exactly the way she did when he wheeled her in. The cop
she does.
Being he, yeah.
Yes. But he, I think he knows something's up. He's like, just get her
well,
out of
and he's
of
like,
my...
get her out of my county.
Right, right. I don't want this. I don't want this anymore.
Yeah. I'm out.
And so then he gets on the ambulance and...
Did you say ambulance?
Ambulance.
The ambulance.
Ambulance.
Say it right.
Ambulance. She boards the ambulance.
There you go.
Without it.
A... I'm leaving all of this in.
Oh, gotta knock me down a peg.
Yeah, you've been too funny recently.
yeah, and so then the
I
guy...
I close my eyes until it passes.
Yeah, that's what we all do. That's what women do.
Jesus.
What the fuck are we talking about? That's what this movie is about.
Well, now
like
I never want to
have
sex
ranting,
again.
But you're talking about something.
Yeah, no,
yeah
right.
This movie is about the patriarchy, guys.
Oh, my God.
This movie is a giant metaphor for
Clint,
it.
How you
I'm
doing,
serious.
Man? How was your date last night?
Uh-huh. Yeah, nice. This is why you're single.
Happy endings or no?
We'll talk later.
Seriously, I'm going to try to talk about this and not get like super angry and upset.
Are we done talking about the movie? Let's
yeah.
start talking
okay,
the movie.
Okay,
first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're in the ambulance.
Nailed
approval?
It.
Yep.
Nailed
validation?
It. Nailed
sweet.
It. You don't
I'm
need it, but
carrying
you got
on.
It. You don't need it, but you got it.
Oh, thanks, Todd. So then the radio starts playing the song.
Yes.
And we see her toe. And we see her toe move and the bell. And it's
yeah,
gonna...
the bell that's not on her foot rings.
Yeah.
The bell that's nowhere, like, not even in the fucking car with them.
Right.
You hear the bell ring because uh-huh. this movie's ridiculous and there are no rules.
She can control the bell.
She can.
And she can also control the radio. Yeah. So whatever the fuck.
Every
so
time
dumb.
A witch
ever
gets away.
Every time a bell rings,
a witch
toes
her
move.
Wings. Yeah.
Can we just have a movie where they control the, this happens a lot in horror movies where they control the radio. Can't we just have something like Chumbawamba? Like something just really, something really 90s.
I'm sure there are probably some people that watched this movie and got a Chumbawamba with all that nudity.
What do you think about their music selection?
It's not good nudity. It's not usable nudity. I hated this movie. This is like the worst thing for me because Hereditary made sense to me. There were rules in Hereditary, and when things were revealed, everything made sense. This scared the fuck. Yes.
Okay.
This scared the fuck out of me, and no rules, and nothing made sense.
Yeah.
This felt like, I just want to scare people. I'm going to write a shitty screenplay and get it greenlit.
Guys, how much do you think this movie cost to make?
$20
billion. It got really cheap at the end, man.
Yeah, it like did. It, yeah. So how much was it?
$6 million.
Okay.
Cost $6
million. Yeah,
Emil
Hirsch.
Just scream it. Get it out.
Emilio!
There you go.
Flying bee!
Okay, so I'll say this. That makes sense. It's a one-location movie, but
right.
it still looked good. Like, it,
it
was shot well.
I thought
good
it went
for
really well.
Million.
I'm not
yeah.
mad at
yeah,
the way it
very
looked.
It was very
budget.
Effective,
yeah.
I think.
It only opened in New York and L.A. It made just over $10,000.
So it did actually have
what?
A theatrical run? Because I was just going to sneak this
well,
one in.
Okay, but it did have a theatrical release overseas, and it made... about 6 million.
Really? Well, it was filmed in England.
Huh?
It was filmed in England.
Was it?
So that would make sense. Yeah. The guy
just
is Norwegian.
Just shy of 6 is what it made. So it basically, like with streaming, it broke. I'm sure they made a little bit of a
Did you know this
profit.
Was a script from The Blacklist?
I didn't.
What is The Blacklist?
I love The Blacklist.
The Blacklist is an annual list compiled by, a website called The Blacklist.
All right. So The Blacklist is where movie makers find great screenplays.
Yeah. Okay. So this guy had directed Troll Hunter, which is a found footage.
What?
And he wanted to prove that he was could do more than that. Because Troll Hunter, I haven't seen it, but apparently it's really good. And he got a lot of high praise for it. And so he just took this script from The Blacklist, which is a mystery list where screenplays go to get made.
No, I mean,
into
it's a website. You can submit, like you've submitted
it's
screenplays.
It's public every
to the
year. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So
you
it's
can
like
submit
a Craigslist for
it. Yeah,
it's just what Hollywood considers the best unproduced scripts of the year. But even those screenplays are normally written by well-known writers or actors.
Yeah.
Like there aren't that many unknown people that get on there.
Well, I don't know who wrote this script.
Okay.
But I love this person.
Well,
I
do
movie.
Know that the director just got hired to write Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, yes. I love those books.
Which
Sorry,
Del Toro
so
is producing.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm iffy
that's
on
exciting.
His aesthetic. I don't always love it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I did love those books.
He
too,
might though. Have Jessica Chastain in it, though, because he does like her and he's used her
I
before.
I do love Jessica Chastain.
So I fucking love this
chapter
movie.
Chapter 2, you're going to have to go.
Yeah. Chastain, you have to go see man. Chapter 1, too.
Yeah. For sure.
We'll watch that.
For sure.
So this movie is just, I watched it. I loved it. I think it's awesome. I'm not
Can
surprised
you,
that you guys don't like
you,
it.
I'm going to ask you this seriously. So just the fact that nothing makes sense and they don't explain anything, that doesn't bother you?
No, because that is the world that women live in.
That's true for some, sure.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm probably going to get a little angry in a minute. I just want everyone to know that you guys are great. Todd and Clint are awesome. We will take you with us when we burn everything down.
Oh, good.
I'm sure most of our listeners are great, too. But just listen. So if you look at this movie and you see it from, like, she's got all of these internal injuries. Can't see them from the outside. So everything looks fine because I've told you guys about this, too. So what the patriarchy is that means that Todd just inhaled real big and I just really shamed him into not exhaling. Now he's afraid to have any kind of reaction.
No, I'm honestly grateful that you're laughing because then I can exhale out with laugh. Because like I just inhaled like for 30 seconds.
He prepared for this giant sigh and I caught it and I shut it down.
Oh my God. I but the funniest part of that was I inhaled, you looked at me, and then I just held my breath until you started laughing so I could exhale.
Just like Jane Doe did. No, so okay, so what makes a woman powerful in the patriarchy is either making herself more like a man, so taking away her feminine qualities, or making herself pleasing to a man by appearance or action. So what happens is women...
I would say in life, this chick probably is very hot. So yeah.
Oh yeah. But so the way that you make yourself pleasing to men is all of these insults and all of these things that women have to deal with every fucking day, we just internalize it and we suck it in and we don't let it show and we try to make ourselves pleasing to men. And men are like, I don't see any problem. Everything looks fine to me. So surely there's
great.
No problem.
Yeah, from our perspective, we just see a bunch of hot ladies.
Exactly. Until a witch, like,
great.
Until a witch kills you all.
Well, a witch isn't going to kill me.
Well, maybe not yet.
Because witches don't exist, and if they did, I wouldn't be one.
You wouldn't be one?
That's a line from fucking Sherlock. That's
Todd is
fantastic.
A final girl. You know this.
Todd is not.
Honestly, I would be a final girl because I am single. Ladies. And I hate horror movies, and you call me a girl all the time for hating horror movies, Clint.
Yeah, which does not feminize you to hate horror movies. But anyways, yeah,
wow.
So what...
Wow. Apparently, Jen's like, you're not in the club. Stop trying to pretend you're in the club.
No, I'm just saying men need to feel feelings. So anyways...
Oh, I feel feels.
She's internalizing all of these, and I love that there's all of these... emotional. It just mirrors how all the bullshit that women put up with all the time and we can't let it show, and when we do, there's something wrong and men have to just try to fix everything and look for the bullet hole and try to figure out what the fuck is wrong so they can fix it, and they won't just listen to women and hear them say, hey, this shit, we don't like this. Even if you can't see wounds, that kind of shit leaves wounds on the inside and it sucks. And it's not until they start to cut her open and actually fucking pull apart her body that all the shit starts to come down, and she's trying to stop them because that's re-victimizing her, and it makes it worse every time you fucking have to do it. And she keeps telling her story over and over and over and over again and just punishing all the men around, which is what happens when you have all of these fucking internal injuries. And that's how the patriarchy hurts men too.
I'll just say this. I don't disagree with you so much. You just sound like you want to murder everyone.
You just sound like you
want
to kill all
right. I don't want, okay, well, let's leave this in because I really don't want to kill everyone. What I want men to know is that this shit is real. And that you need to listen to women's feelings. So,
you know, Jen, one thing I noticed is that all of her wounds were on the inside.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Yeah.
Well, probably because I love how now I'm just explaining the patriarchy.
Right, to me? This is how I think you meant to say it,
so,
right?
Let me just explain this.
And I also see this as, like, I see the adult and the second generation, and I see he's uncomfortable with the way he's examining this body, and he's pulling everything apart, and he's looking for logic.
Yeah,
and
he wanted to leave way earlier.
Picking up on the clues that she's giving that this is an uncomfortable situation.
Sure.
And I see that kind of as what's happening in our society right now, is the older generation is stuck in their way and they don't necessarily want to break out of it because that's the way they've always known. And he doesn't want to be a part of that. He's trying to listen. He's trying to be responsible. He's trying to save them. He doesn't want to follow the dad. And that's why I don't think it would be a mother and a daughter, because I don't think she is mad at women. I think she's mad at the men who've done all this shit to her.
So how was your date last night, Clint? I don't disagree with you. I do want to point out, and I'm only saying this because it's funny, during your explanation of why this is a patriarchy movie or whatever, you were walking around. You were like getting up and sitting down. Like you were really into it. Like,
yeah.
It was fun to watch.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, so as a man, I appreciate your performance of that for us.
Mm-hmm. Clint, would you watch this movie again?
Probably. Yeah, I think I would. I mean, there are a lot of things that I didn't catch. And I...
Watch it with your feminism glasses on next time.
I would. I mean, I watched... I really, really like the atmosphere.
I do think it's
sometimes
very
go
scary.
Down that. It's one of those movies that, like, and this plays to Todd's points. I go down that rabbit hole of like, how would I have done this movie? How would I have written it? That's a deep rabbit hole to go down. But no, I'd watch it again.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would. I definitely would. This is the second time I watched it. I made you two watch it because I love it.
Yeah, it was real.
And I'm
bad.
Trying to.
I
help
hated
you.
It. It was real scary. Like
it was. It was really scary.
Let's get into
scary
the
scale.
Let's get into the scary scale. Yeah. What is the scary scale?
Scary scale is we rank how scary we think the movie is. It is not about the quality of the movie. It's how scared we feel. And
today.
We're not going back and saying I feel like I'm comparing it to. I was more scared in this movie than that movie. Okay, so it's a scale from 1 to 10. Our example of a 1 is Ghostbusters, and our example of a 10 is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So we try to put it somewhere on that scale.
Right.
So Todd, where would you scary scale this?
I would put it at a 9, and let me explain why I put it at a 9. For me, I haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Of course, I've seen Ghostbusters, but my scariest movie right now is Hereditary, mm-hmm. and I felt like that was much scarier than this, but this had much more gore,
mm-hmm.
and I could sit through, I mean, during Hereditary, I stood up and yelled, fuck, at the screen at one point. So that to me is scarier than what I did here. This just made me very uncomfortable because of the autopsy scenes were gross. And then there were some jump scares that got me. But honestly, I hated the beginning of this movie more than I hated the end of it. I know, and that's surprising because the end of it is forced exposition while they just make up why she's doing this to them and we get no confirmation of that and then it's over. And I hated the beginning worse than that.
Yeah, I'd probably give it an 8, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's very scary.
Today watching it? I mean, you've seen this before, clearly.
Yeah, oh yeah, this is my second time seeing it. The first time I think I was really scared.
Yeah.
The second time, man... I'm still giving it an 8, but man, I started to get so excited through it when she starts to become more and more evil.
Yeah, like, I could tell.
I was wondering if I was
freaking
you guys out. I mean,
the movie does go to a new level.
It does, yeah, and you start to see her become more sinister and more powerful, and I was like, fuck yeah, man. Break all the rules. I don't care because, you know, burn it down.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I loved this movie, but I'm going to give it an 8 on my scary scale. Clint, what do you think?
I'd give it a 7.
7?
Yeah. Very spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Effective, too. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what this number is.
Did you like
the
screenplay, Colin?
I did not like the
I
screenplay.
I think you guys liked the screenplay. No.
It
I liked it.
So bad. I mean,
it was that bad.
And I don't have. Clint
I
went to school
it was
for this.
Awful, like Todd. Yeah. Right.
Clint went to school for this. So like, that's the reason I asked you, because you are, to me, the closest expert I know. And then I don't know anyone else who's written screenplays. You've won awards.
Right.
So, like,
okay. All right.
It's fine. So, like, whatever. But yeah, so. I would trust your judgment over mine in that because you went to school for it and you've had some successful stuff. So I haven't.
Sure. I mean, look, I talk a lot of shit. I really shouldn't tackle it from a standpoint of, oh, they were trapped by budget and it forced them to, like, I'm sure that they wrote it to be an isolated picture. I just have a lot of problems with no rules.
Yeah.
You can just pull whatever the fuck you want out of your ass.
Yeah.
But I
think it's, there's a purpose for that here.
I think you see it that way.
Yeah, I do.
I think those two guys were thinking about it. I just think that gives them too much credit. I've read some
interviews with them and they're like, no, that's not, we didn't intend to make a feminist movie, but that's what happened and we leaned into it.
Yeah. And if, okay, all right.
So it becomes intentional. Yeah. Because, I mean, the rules say that once they kill Brian Cox, then everything should be happy, but like, fuck you. That's not how it turns out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, lots of rules say lots of things should happen that don't happen.
And I wish that that would have been more of the ultimate sacrifice, but it's like Emile Hirsch dies like 5 minutes later, and I'm like, oh, well, that was for nothing. That's cool.
Yeah.
I just didn't give a shit. I didn't give a shit about these two people. Again, love the atmosphere.
I didn't care about them. I cared about her.
Okay, yeah. I didn't care about her either. She's a corpse. I didn't get to know her at all.
Yeah.
Those are my issues with the writing. I'll say this.
I think feeling bad for her and liking her as a character are two different things. Like, I felt bad for what happened to her 200 years ago or whenever the Salem witch trials were, but I didn't care whether she died or died.
If we had maybe gotten some sort of flashback, something to make us care about her. But it's a corpse.
I don't need a flashback.
I know, because you see it as a patriarchy movie.
I do, yeah. And I think, like, there's for as much nudity as there is in this movie, there is no male gaze in this movie. Like, when you see her, you see her face, and that allows us to connect with her. And slowly through the movie, you're connecting with the more sinister version.
I am all about nudity in movies. Mm-hmm. I'm very pro-nudity. I don't like nudity like this. It's not that I dislike nudity like this. It's whatever. Like, this nudity doesn't count for me.
Yeah, I'm sure she probably wouldn't enjoy this kind of nudity either.
Oh, no, she would much rather be naked in front of me than dead naked in front of me.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because one version is alive and the other one is not.
I mean, let's be clear. She still wouldn't want me there if she was naked. All right, guys. So that wraps up the movie. So let's do this. Let's. If you guys want to reach out to us on social, we are at Horror Virgin on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So Jen Ferratu is Jen's I Am Todd J. Awesome. Clint
is on Angel Fire.
Angel Fire blog, The Male Gaze. Check it out.
Yeah, fanfic.
I really hope someone has Googled Angel Fire blog, The Male Gaze.
Or someone actually created that page.
Oh, my God. That would be hilarious. Anyway, and guys, remember to attack Jared Leto's
his Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I heard this weird thing about his eyes.
Yeah, they're a little too close together. He had surgery to fix it, but it looks too close together.
Yeah.
So make sure you're following us on social. Make sure you rate and review the podcast if you enjoy the podcast. That way it helps other people find us. But also you can win a pretty swanky-ass mug.
Yep. It's got our logo and our full text logo on it.
Yes. And we are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. So if you guys don't know who they are, check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Modern Horrors on the socials. And of course, the Modern Horrors feed is where you can find all the podcasts, including ours.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to our podcast from their feed, if you subscribe to our feed, you'll get it Monday. You'll get it theirs on Wednesday. So if you want to get it immediately, subscribe to our channel because that's where the good shit happens.
Yep.
So what are you going to make me watch next week?
Oh, I'm really excited about this because one, it's another Stephen King adaptation. And two, it's another lady movie. We are watching Carrie.
You're going to watch the shitty remake.
Bite your tongue, Clint.
Bite
your tongue off like the autopsy of Jane Doe. I know the famous imagery from it, her in a prom dress or something covered in blood.
The pig's blood? Yeah.
Oh, is it pig's blood?
There's
lots of blood
in that movie.
And how that happens, stay tuned.
I mean, I don't know. Goodness. So we're going to watch that. Make sure you watch it before.
Yeah, watch it before. Because we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, and read the book. I might try to read along. I've read this book like probably 10 times. So
then why read it again?
Because it's so good.
Disagree.
I love it.
All right.
In my top 10. Anyways. So Carrie, the De Palma version.
Indeed.
Yeah. I'm not doing any of that riff right.
Does that mean the original?
Yeah, that's the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So that's going to be it from us.
Yeah, that's... We're good. I'm Clint.
I'm the Virgin Todd.
I'm Jennifer.
See you next week, guys. Bye.